applewood smoked bacon, it's an easy, delicious dinner so you can keep savoring the season. At participating McDonald's for a limited time. Fresh beef available at most restaurants in contiguous U.S. Not available in Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.
And welcome in to the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great show coming up for you. We're going to talk about the Holiday Bowl, Iowa and USC. Ryan Carty is going to join us from the Los Angeles Times, and we'll talk USC Trojan football with Ryan, a former Midwest guy. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Panel will get together for this week's edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. That and a whole lot more coming your way in a Friday edition of the program right here on KGYM. Good afternoon. The Gym Class here at KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes as we come your way here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great show coming up. As we mentioned, Ryan Carty is going to join us from the LA Times to talk USC Trojan football. That'll be coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. The panel will get together for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 as well. Plenty of things to discuss here on a Friday edition of the program as your local programming block getting underway. We are, as always, presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They're locally owned and operated. Stop on by tonight or sometime during the weekend. Catch a game. Just go on out with friends, family, coworkers, what have you. Great place to meet up. Again, Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Mark and I here in the studio, and if we had 113 more people, we would have the equivalent of the folks that are in the stands, I think, at the Bahamas Bowl. Mark, good afternoon.
Yeah, bowl season underway, and got a text from a friend of mine, our friend Rusty. Jeez, you see the number of, or the lack of fans in the stands? Well, it's to be expected. Bahamas is a nice place to be, but maybe not for a football game between Buffalo and Charlotte.
Right now, Buffalo leading Charlotte, by the way, 17-0. That is the score as they are about halfway through. In fact, right at the halfway mark of the third quarter right now, in front of friends and family in the Bahamas at Jackie Robinson Stadium, which is actually a track and field facility. You don't see many football games with a track around it anymore.
You know too much. You know too much.
We were discussing it in the sports office earlier today as we were trying to stave off sleep after the station holiday lunch and subsequent White Elephant gift exchange, which is always a big hit and was again this year. Well run by Todd Brommelkamp, and it was a big success.
I usually attend, but I had some obligations today, and I knew it's always a great time, and I appreciate everyone's involvement in that.
But we get sleepy after a big meal,
we're trying to
stave off sleep a little bit right now.
Well, you got a game tonight. You better be awake for
it. Got two games tonight. Doubleheader coming your way tonight. We'll start things off at 5:50 on 107.5 FM as it'll be Washington at Kennedy to take on the Cougars. Girls game at 5:50 with the pregame on 107.5 FM, and then everybody gets it. The boys game at around 7:20 through 7:30, depending on the length of the girls game coming up tonight. So that'll be at 1600 AM, 107.5, along with 106.3 FM. Bowl bonanza tomorrow. Three bowl games starting at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM. We've got a triple header of the NFL on the FM starting at 11:30 for you. So whether you like college football or pro football, we have you covered coming up tomorrow right here on KGYM. So check out our complete schedule through the weekend at KGYMradio.com.
Yeah, local programming is going to be kind of in and out through the holiday season. We will have a show on Monday
and Tuesday.
Correct. And then be off for the rest of the week and then be back after Christmas for a December 30th Monday show.
Yes.
I think I have that right.
You got it.
And be back after
New Year's.
New Year's, yeah.
Yeah, and we will have Before the Boom coming up before the Holiday Bowl, Iowa and USC. And as we mentioned, we'll talk USC football. Clay Helton is staying around at least for one more year and the bowl game. Plenty of things to talk about on USC football front with Ryan Karchi. Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. We'll find out the true pronunciation of his name coming up in a little bit. Buffalo has scored again. It's 23-0. The Buffalo Bulls on top of the Charlotte 49ers to get bowl season underway for 2019.
We're going to be making some of these picks on such bowls as the Camellia and the Belk and the Cure.
No Belk this week. No Belk. No, that's not for a week and a half or so.
Well, the Cure and the Camellia. And
Cure, Camellia, Frisco, New Mexico, the Boca Bowl, and Vegas. That's your sixum today.
That's the back half of the show.
Yeah.
Back quarter of the show.
You're looking forward to that. I can tell. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertinus Stocker Jeweler text line. Hertinus Stocker Jeweler is located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. News today. There is some news out there. Number 1A and 1B, both coming out of, one coming out of Chicago, which impacts Iowa City. The other one coming from Iowa City. We now know the date. This coming out about an hour ago. We now know the date for the retirement ceremony for Megan Gustafson and her number 10 jersey. It is going to be on January the 26th. Is that correct, Mark? January 26th?
I believe that's correct.
Iowa will be hosting Michigan State that night in Big Ten women's basketball. And that will be the evening that Megan Gustafson is back, and that will be the evening that her number 10 will go into the Raptors forever at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. That is a Sunday, by the way. That is a Sunday. And should be a big, big crowd, I would imagine, not only because Michigan State is one of the top teams in the Big Ten as far as women's basketball race is concerned, but also just because it's going to be a pretty historic afternoon or evening or whenever they're going to tip it off. I would imagine an afternoon game. But being a Sunday afternoon, that should bring in a pretty good crowd, I would imagine. Hopefully they'll get a sellout there to honor Megan Gustafson. She certainly deserves to have 15,000 there helping her out, getting her number 10 jersey in the rafters.
Well, yeah, we knew this was coming. It was just a matter of arranging the date. And Megan playing overseas right now, I believe, after a stint in the WNBA.
Just had a birthday, by the way.
It's going to be a heck of a day. I know that.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun, fun day, and that will be on January the 26th. The other news today somewhat through Iowa City, but originated by the Big Ten office, and more than likely originated by somebody at a television network, but at any rate, the news coming out earlier today that the 2020 Iowa-Minnesota football game scheduled for Saturday, September the 19th at TCF Bank Stadium. Yeah, that sounds weird. Iowa-Minnesota on September 19th. What's even weirder is now it's going to be on September the 18th. The Big Ten has moved the game to a Friday night. Now, this is not anything unusual and new. As far as the Big Ten is concerned, they've been doing this the last couple of seasons, but this is the first time it impacts the Iowa Hawkeyes. They will be on the road at TCF Bank Stadium on Friday night, September the 18th, and no time for the kickoff or television network has been determined as of yet. You got to think it's either going to be the Big Ten Network or FS1, one of the two. But it probably, you got to think it's going to be a 6:30 or a 7 o'clock kickoff right around there. As the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, it is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
The Hawkeyes and Gophers play on a Friday night next year. Are you a fan? Yes or no? You can access the poll at KGYMradio.com. And thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Of course, this is not a new thing, as you mentioned. We knew Iowa was going to be involved at some point if not 1 year, maybe a couple years. But now it's here. And obviously Friday night is a big high school night. It is a high school night. Some games on Thursday, but
99.8% of them are on Friday night.
But will that be the case? Will athletic directors be motivated to move games to Thursday or Saturday because of that, because of the popularity of Iowa football? Or will they just say, heck with it?
And probably take it in the shorts.
Yeah.
A little bit. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. The Big Ten Conference said they were going to do this 3 years ago. Television is solidly behind them. That's the way it's going to be. And no matter how loudly anyone complains, it's not going to be changed one iota. I think it's crap. I don't think it should be Iowa. I don't think it should be Minnesota. I don't think it should be Nebraska. I don't think it should be Wisconsin. I don't think anybody should be playing football on Fridays. You want these kids to come play, and you're recruiting them, and yet you basically step on their throats as far as bringing in money to help the athletic departments, which is harder and harder each and every year.
How many recruits are going to be on the Minnesota sideline on a Friday night?
None.
They're going to be playing.
They're going to be playing.
I mean, there's other weekends, of course, but no, I'm against this as well. But since it was first announced, I've resolved myself.
There's nothing we can do about it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it.
It's going to happen. But if you're a high school athletic official out there, give us a call or a text, 319-366-1600.
What if there's Wash Jeff playing that night? What if there's you could have City High West playing that night. You could have any rivalry out there. And you're darn right it's going to impact the attendance.
Well, it impacts the two of us. I mean, you're going to be out calling a game on a Friday night. And, yes, we'll record the Iowa game, Iowa-Minnesota game, but you can't be in two places at once. I have a grandson playing high school football. Am I going to sit at home and watch Minnesota, Iowa, or am I going to go to watch him play? Minnesota, Iowa is going to be on the DVR.
I'm going to be interested to see, like you said, if there are going to be teams that will move games to Thursday night.
Yeah.
Or a Saturday afternoon. But then you run into D3 games, and you run into Iowa State.
Sure.
You run into UNI.
Sure.
I got a feeling you may see a lot of Thursday night games that week. On September the 17th. Now, no one knows the schedule as of yet because we have the whole two-year cycle to be determined, and we talked about that yesterday a little bit, or was that 2 days ago, with the Iowa Football Coaches Association and the Iowa High School Athletics Association.
7099 on the Hertzine and Stalker Jeweler text line. It just means we get to ruin their undefeated season, parentheses again, one day earlier.
It's very early as far as undefeated season. That's a Big Ten opener, too.
Kenneth, not a fan of major college football games on Friday nights during the high school season. We've established we aren't either, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to happen.
We're not going to be the old man yelling at the cloud because it's not going to do any good.
I like Wednesday and Thursday. AAC football or MAC football, whatever
Action.
It may be.
Well, when you have a quality team like Buffalo playing on a Wednesday night, how can you not watch it?
I don't have any conflicts on a Wednesday night, Thursday.
Well, we got bowling, but we can watch it at bowling.
Yeah. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600.
Yeah. And we understand it doesn't impact everyone at the present time, but you're chances are,
I mean, if you're an Iowa football fan in general, you don't have any stake in the high schools. What do you think about it?
You're probably fine with it. It's not going to be a big deal. If you were planning on going to Minneapolis,
yeah,
now you have to take off work a couple of days, maybe at least one day, because you got to get up there. You got to get back. Do you go on a Thursday? Do you take Thursday off? Do you stay Friday? You get to geared up all day Friday for Minnesota and Iowa. I mean, there's a lot of things to take into consideration here not only on a Friday night as far as it's a high school football night, but also the other things with that. So keep on voting at KGYMRadio.com. And thanks to Emil's Hideaway. We do appreciate all their help, and we'll have the Emil's Hideaway pick six for you. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Right now, it's very early in the voting. We already got four or five votes up there, and everybody says no.
Yeah.
They don't want the Friday night game. All right. We'll update that as we move along through the program here today. 3:18, we're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk USC football with the LA Times, Ryan Karchi. We'll do that when we return. Listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
At CP Hoyt, the holiday season is all about gifts with purchase. And boy, do we have some amazing gifts with our amazing jewelry. I'm talking about great jewelry from Anya Hay, Shy Creations, Memoir, Forevermark, and Gabriel & Company, New York. With your purchase, the more you spend, the bigger your gift. Like a Traeger pellet grill, a 55-inch Samsung TV, Apple AirPods, Yeti Ramblers. The more you spend, the bigger your gift. And of course, in CP Hoyt fashion, we'll have our spectacular jewelry in every price range and every style. Whether you love the hottest new designs or if you're more traditional, we've got it all. Nothing's better than great gifts with amazing jewelry at CP Hoyt. And stop in on December 21st for a special visit from Santa Claus himself. It all starts Wednesday, December 11th through New Year's Eve at CP Hoyt, the place where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and has great gifts with purchase for the holidays.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Your life is full, with good friends and family topping the list. Create an even more welcoming space for them this holiday season with elegant cabinetry from Decora. Meticulously handcrafted, solid hardwood, custom milled cabinets. Whether you envision a gleaming new kitchen, impressive entry, or updated entertaining area, Decora has discriminating details at an approachable budget. Consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
3:21, back with you on the Gym Class on this Friday here on KGYM here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Udash, Mark Dukes with you. We'll make our picks of some very entertaining bowl games coming up here in just a little bit. Speaking of bowls, of course, we are a week away from the 2019 Holiday Bowl, Iowa and the USC Trojans. And to talk USC football, we welcome in Ryan Karchi joining us, who covers the Trojans for the LA Times. Former Midwest guy is Ryan.
Originally from Michigan.
Yeah. Big Wolverines fan or Spartans fan?
I went to the University of Michigan. So I will say I grew up a Michigan fan, although I am a impartial college football reporter at this point.
There you go. So you know the Hawkeyes a little bit anyway from being up there in the Big Ten, obviously.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah. Well, It's been an interesting year covering the USC Trojans, hasn't it? From off the field to on the field, back to off the field, and now we're back to on the field, right?
Yeah, this is actually my first year on the beat, and I will say I was thrown into the fire this first year. It has not been boring, and that's kind of always been the reputation of the USC football beat, that something crazy was going to happen no matter what, and that has certainly proven true this year.
Well, after a 3-3 start, USC won all but one of its last games, lost fairly convincingly to Oregon. How did USC play down the stretch?
You know, things really started to come together, especially offensively, and you can credit a lot of that just to the rise of Keaton Slovis, their freshman quarterback, beginning of the year. I mean, he was a 19-year-old who, you know, was expected to be the backup. He was only a 3-star recruit. In high school, he played for a team in Arizona that wasn't actually very good. They won 3 games his senior season. So he wasn't really used to the sort of spotlight he was stepping into. But and down that stretch, you really saw him come alive. And over the past 5 games, he had 4 games of 400 yards and at least 3 touchdowns. So pretty great performance on his part, and the defense started to find its stride a little bit late, too. So you could argue, and that's what the athletic director kind of argued in bringing back Clay Helton, that USC really found its momentum down the stretch, and they hope that will continue on through the Holiday Bowl and after that.
Now, Slovis is a pure drop-back quarterback, and he won't hurt you with his legs. Is that right?
Well, so he's capable of scrambling a little bit. I wouldn't expect him to be someone who's just going to take off just to run. But he can move around in the pocket a little bit. He had a couple of plays this year in which, you know, he created extra time and was able to, you know, move around in the pocket for 5, 6, 7 seconds. And that's pretty impressive in my opinion for a freshman who, you know, never really had to deal with that sort of pressure before. And I think we've only seen that sort of pocket presence get better.
Well, yeah, and you talked about the way he finished the year with Slovis. You can't argue about the stats, 3,200 yards plus, 28 touchdowns, 72% completion percentage for a freshman. Now, he does have 9 interceptions, but most of those kind of came early, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and he did have 3 interceptions against Oregon, but, you know, looking back at that tape, I think he actually played a little bit better than the stat line would suggest. That was just kind of a runaway game. But, yeah, he's really gotten better in terms of making decisions and trusting his reads. And in USC's air raid offense, that's kind of the most important part of accepting that system. And Graham Harrell, their offensive coordinator, has talked about that a lot this year, how Slovis has kind of learned to trust himself, and we've seen that change pretty clearly on the field.
Ryan, have you gauged the reaction of the coaching staff or players, even the fan base, in regards to playing Iowa in this game?
Well, I think a lot of the fan base at this point has kind of put this season out of their mind, just because they've been so frustrated with the coaching situation, and many of them sort of believe that Clay Helton shouldn't have been retained. But in terms of the players and the coaches, I think there's a lot of respect for Iowa and just the type of football that they play. It's not really a style you see a ton on the West Coast. I mean, maybe Utah might be the best corollary in terms of a sort of physical defense and, you know, ball control, conventional run game. That's something that, you know, USC is not maybe necessarily comfortable dealing with. So I do think that sort of challenge is taken seriously, but it's hard to know when it comes to a bowl game, right? The motivations of these players a couple weeks out in the regular season, some of them are thinking ahead. This team has dealt a lot with this coaching search and just the coaching situation, just the uncertainty of that. So at this point, it's hard to know in terms of motivation, but I do think they've at least said the right things about, you know, stopping Iowa and the respect they give them.
Ryan, were you surprised Clay Helton's coming back? What, I mean, players aren't going to come out and say, okay, we're happy about this, we're unhappy about this, but you sure can kind of take the temperature of it. What is the temperature right now, you think, among the Trojans about Clay Helton?
Well, me personally, I was pretty surprised. I thought just given the direction the program seemed to be going in, especially when you look long-term at recruiting and where those efforts are at, I thought with a new athletic director, a new president, they might go in a different direction. But that said, to Clay Helton's credit, he never lost the team. The team always made it clear, and I believe them when they say this, that they fully support Clay Helton. He's the type of coach that you can understand why players would get behind. He's a personable, you know, father figure type of coach. He's kind of been lauded for his integrity. And I think that does carry weight with players, and I think they trust him when he talks to them. So I do think in their mind they're on the right track. They saw that the season ended with 5 wins in 6 games, and the only loss being to Oregon, who won the Pac-12. So if you can translate that next season with Clay Helton, I think most of them are pretty confident they can do that and be an even better team. The question at this point is, you know, is the fan base ever going to get behind Clay Helton, even if this team starts to win? And so far, it's been pretty toxic, generally. But I think time heals all. So I think in some ways, maybe once the next season starts, we might see a few more people come around.
Ryan, I think at least looking on from afar here in Iowa, a statement was made about Helton in this week's recruiting. USC's, for whatever it's worth, ranked last in the Pac-12. I mean, in the ESPN 300, they got no one in the top 300, despite the fact 20 of those players are from the LA area. What happened there?
That's a great question. I think it's a serious concern. It's something I wrote about this past week that, you know, Clay Helton that day made a lot of excuses, suggested that that this class was small, which he's right, it is a smaller than usual class, which would affect their ranking a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, so many of those prospects are right on USC's doorstep. A lot of them said throughout the process that they grew up watching USC. These are the type of recruits that, you know, in the Pete Carroll era, they never went anywhere else. They always ended up at USC. So people have the expectation that Clay Helton should be able to reel in these top recruits. And so far, especially this past year, he just hasn't done that. I think it's kind of hard to get around that fact. And I think Clay Helton understands that too, that recruiting has to be better. But at this point, you know, with all the talent that's already on the team, we might not actually see the impact of that until 2-3 years later.
Ryan Karchi joining us, covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times here in the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Some really terrific talent, a lot of it at the wide receiver position, led by Michael Pittman Jr. Sounds like he will play in the Holiday Bowl coming up. And certainly this is the strength of this USC football team, isn't it?
Absolutely. That receiver position, I mean, you could argue that they have, say, 7-8 receivers that could all start at Pac-12 schools. So when you run that deep, you're generally pretty well off when you go 4 or 5 receiver sets, which they tend to do quite a bit. And you mentioned Michael Pittman. This being his last game at USC, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come out especially motivated. He's that type of player. I think he cares about his legacy at the school. He waited a long time to have this big sort of breakout season. And also knowing that the receiver class in the draft is so deep, I think he understands that he needs to show out in a game like this, and that could really help his draft stock. So I do think he'll be a focal point, again, of this offense. But don't sleep on Drake London either. He's another freshman who, you know, he's 6'4". He's a basketball player. He really came on down the stretch, and Keaton Slovis and him both clearly have a connection that I think we're going to see moving past this year even. So he might also have a big game. But Iowa's secondary is pretty good. It's one of the best secondaries that USC will have seen this season. So I do think that's the matchup that is going to end up being most interesting in this game.
Any other areas, Ryan, where you pegged one team or another has an edge?
Well, I'm interested to see what happens in the trenches in terms of USC's offensive line versus Iowa's defensive line. Obviously, someone like A.J. Epenesa, that's someone who's going to give USC's offensive line issues. Granted, that group has been a little bit better this year than a lot of people expected. Keaton Slovis hasn't taken all that many sacks. They've done pretty well in the run game as well. But, you know, when you're talking about a big physical front like Iowa, that sort of scheme is a little bit different than what they've dealt with this year. So how they react in terms of the run game and especially just protecting Keaton Slovis, I do think that'll play a big part in this game. But if Iowa's able to get pressure on him, then all of a sudden USC's passing game breaks down. Then you're talking about a different USC team, because when they can't get that rhythm going in the passing game, they have real trouble converting on third down and moving into the red zone. So I do think that's a way Iowa keeps this game a little bit closer. And, you know, it's possible. I'm really curious to see what happens, but I think it's an interesting matchup.
It is. It is. And be coming up a week from tonight. And, yeah, I'm not sure. You take a look at USC's offensive numbers. But like you said, Iowa's very good on the defensive side. And I'm right with you. If Iowa can get some pressure on the quarterback, I think it favors the Hawkeyes. If not, I think USC is looking pretty good in this. You think it may be a high-scoring game, or what are you looking at?
You know, that's what's so interesting. I do think if it's a high-scoring game, you'll probably see USC win. I think if it's a low-scoring game, I would bet on Iowa. Just given that I think whoever is able to establish their style in this game actually ends up being the winner. And personally, you know, just in terms of motivation and the way this season has gone, I wouldn't be all that surprised if this was a letdown for USC. So in that sense, I do think it might be more of a low-scoring game in which Iowa might have that advantage.
All right, sounds good. And, hey, Ryan, appreciate it. It's a lot warmer in Southern California than it is either in Iowa or Michigan right now. I'll let you know that.
Yeah, well, luckily we'll all be in San Diego.
Hey, Ryan, appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and we thank you very much.
Great, thanks.
Ryan Carchi joining us from the Los Angeles Times, covers the USC Trojans for that fine publication. And a Michigan man to boot up there, and should be interesting. Interesting comments about, I don't know if you can compare Iowa and USC just as far as there are no more two far away divergent programs, I think, in college football. You've got USC in a major metropolitan area, one of the biggest cities in America. They get some headlines, but they don't get when the Lakers and the Clippers and the Rams and everybody are going full bore. USC's on page eight, let's face it, unless Pete Carroll's there and they're winning national championships.
Very untrue of what goes on around here when you've got
indeed
4 to 6 pages dedicated to an Iowa game on a certain day. And listen, despite USC's badly ranked recruiting class, these two programs shop at different stores. And Hayden Fry, Kirk Ferentz said something along those lines this week. He acknowledged that fact. I think it's a very interesting matchup as well. And I'm fearful of this USC passing attack and against this Iowa defense.
Yeah, A.J. Epenesa's got to get in there. He's got to create some havoc. Iowa basically needs to punch USC in the mouth. I really think so. Not literally, but they figuratively need to do that. Iowa needs to establish that they're a Big Ten bully out there. Run the football a little bit. Have a little bit of the passing game with Nate Stanley, obviously, as well. But Iowa's got to win the line of scrimmage in this game. Iowa cannot win, I don't think, a 45-40 game with USC.
I don't think so either, and there's a history of Iowa not playing well against Pac-10 or Pac-12 teams out there on the West Coast.
Heck, Pac-8.
Pac-8, yeah.
Yes, kids, it was the Pac-8 at one time. Look it up. Give it a Google. It is true. Thanks to Ryan for joining us here on the program today. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line. If you want to comment about the Holiday Bowl, we'll talk a lot about the Holiday Bowl in our 2 days next week. Mike Loss is going to join us coming up on Monday. We'll also talk about the Iowa State game. He is going to be in Orlando following the Cyclones with their game against Notre Dame. So looking forward to that coming up on Monday and Tuesday. And I think we'll have picks on Tuesday next week, which will be a little bit different, but you got to get those picks in. You got to get the Iowa pick. You got to get the Iowa State pick in there.
We'll make it happen.
Mark's looking forward to the Belk Bowl. Why not? Why not look ahead to the Belk Bowl out there? But yeah, our thanks to Ryan Karchi for joining us on the program here today. We're going to make some picks. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit on KGYM. We'll get the panel together and a chance for somebody out there to win a $30 gift card courtesy of Emil's Hideaway. I want to remind you, the gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event, and if selected, your event will be featured on the air and online. Go to kgymradio.com for more information about that. We do appreciate that. Also, want to let everybody know, it is a Friday, and that means it's time to let you know and introduce you to this week's Athlete of the Week. And that is brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa. And this week's Athlete of the Week from the Cedar Rapids Prairie Girls basketball team, senior Mallory McDermott, who has been terrific this year. Second in Class 5A in scoring, shooting 57% from the field, averaging 25.4 points a game for the Western Illinois commit. And her Prairie Hawks, along with another terrific backcourt player, Sid McCray, who's going to Northern Illinois, they're going to be playing Jefferson coming up tonight. It's kind of the MVC rivalry night part two tonight. Had it last Friday night, and they always have the rivalries on the two Fridays ahead of the holiday break because they know a lot of former players and alumni are going to be back to take in the games.
That is the case, and you've got Wash Kennedy boys and girls tonight.
Yep, Wash
Kennedy.
Another rivalry, and we'll have that for you tonight. Coming your way, 5:50 with the girls game on 107.5 FM, 6 o'clock tip. And then around 7:30, maybe a little bit ahead of that, they've been going a little quicker this year with the new 15-minute rule between games. It'll be the boys game, and that'll be on all three of our frequencies coming up tonight. We originally were going to have a south game on 106.3 FM, but just couldn't find the manpower to pull that off tonight. So we'll have everybody tuning in to Wash Kennedy, which should be a heck of a – both games should be very entertaining coming up tonight, the girls' game and the boys' game.
Should be. On the text line regarding today's announcement that Minnesota and Iowa will play on a September Friday night next season, 5338 points out that Iowa's been playing Friday games for the last 6 years against Nebraska. I am for Friday night games. Just means a three-day weekend. Well, that Nebraska game,
that's completely different.
The regular season in Iowa high school football, but point well taken. 69-36. I'd rather they play on Thursday night, and the two teams playing will play that Thursday night after coming off a bye to give them plenty of rest going into the Thursday night game.
That will not be the case. It'll be Iowa State and Minnesota back-to-back within 6 days. Iowa State will be in Iowa City this coming year in 2020, and then Iowa will have a short week to get ready and have to take a short trip up to Minneapolis. So not going to be easy up there. Back-to-back big rivalry games, trophy games for the Hawkeyes.
And then right after that, I think Iowa has Penn State and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Not back-to-back. Is it back-to-back? Have to look here. We'll find that out for you. Mark's digging into it right now. Go ahead and vote at kgymradio.com. Our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway once again. With the announcement today, the Hawks and Gophers play on a Friday night next year. Are you a fan? Yes or no? And it's still unanimous right now for no. No one's a fan of the Friday night game in mid-September. Take a break. 3:42. We'll get the panel together if they're not asleep. You and I are awake. Dave's over there. I see him. Alex, Todd, wake up. Mm. We did. And we'll get the panel together and we'll have some picks for you coming up, including a guest picker. We'll do that when we return after this here on KGYM.
Happy holidays, audience. You got to have Manly Man snow removal from Vernon Village. True value, right, Hal?
Sure do, Jim. And an Aaron's 24-inch deluxe two-stage snowblower is just $1,099.
Great gift. And a 24-inch spring steel brace snow pusher is just $39.99 at Vernon Village. True value.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah.
Just text Vernon Village to 71441.
Vernon Village. True value. 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Every dang time. You need to call to make an appointment somewhere and you remember right after the place closes. Linder Tire gets it. So now you can make your appointment online at lindertire.com. You can even see your tire options by typing in your license number. Schedule any Linder Tire appointment at lindertire.com.
Keep your ride in good shape for the season with everything from oil change to alternator check. And find this month's specials at lindertire.com.
Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free.
Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-394-5784. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-394-5784. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-394-5784. 1-800-394-5784.
I promise that you'll never find another like me.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. That's 4% cash back on milkshakes with extra whipped cream. And 4% to get extra loud at the show. The Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Hey guys, it's Taylor. You can buy my new album, Lover, at taylorswift.com.
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Back with you in the gym class, KGYM. 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And we'll be followed by Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That will come up from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock here this evening. And it is time now for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right behind the Taco John's and right next to the Home Depot. And the man with the beautiful Christmas sweater today with the Santa giving the thumbs up. It's a beautiful garment, Todd.
Santa was giving the thumbs up, and that's before he saw that Charlotte was getting its butt kicked by Buffalo today in the Bahamas Bowl. So,
you sure that's a thumbs up, John?
If you're on the under in that game, you're looking good right now. Uh-huh. 10.5 minutes left.
Strange things happen in bowls, though. Keep
Is
that
it
in
really
mind.
Bowl season?
Well,
does this really feel like a bowl?
200 people in the Bahamas say yes. And I'm being very, very generous in that 200.
Well, we have a problem because we've done this all season long, and Eric Hansen from Z102.9 comes in last week as the guest picker and upstages all of us, including Dave, who's been on an absolute heater. So I don't know what that says about our ability to pick these games, but by God, we're going to pick six of the least interesting bowl games known to mankind because, well, that's the schedule this week. We start with the Frisco Bowl between Utah State and Kent State. Utah State is favored by a touchdown here. Scott, I believe you have Eric's
I do, picks. And we brought Eric back because the way we're going to do this, if the guest picker, you know, makes us look horrible, we're going to invite him or her back. And so we invited Eric back. He's at a holiday party, though, this afternoon. He's got back-to-back holiday parties. How about that for a Friday for Eric Hansen? Eric is going to go with Utah State in this particular ball game.
Alex, fill me in here. Utah State, their coach didn't leave and take a new job or anything,
nope.
Did he? Okay, yeah,
nope.
Utah State.
I'll take Utah State as well.
All right. Dave, happy holidays to you.
Same to you.
How you been?
Great.
Good.
Thanks for having me. Kent State will be looking for their first bowl win. They were underdogs in their last three games and won all three. Their quarterback has an 18-2 TD to interception ratio. And I'll take Kent State.
Dave knows something. Dave knows something. I should change my pick, but I wrote down Utah State, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm sorry.
I think Utah State has a quarterback coming out to the NFL. Pretty good prospect. By that alone, I'll take Utah State and probably circle only Dave Square.
The New Mexico Bowl is...
Not playing for a lawn tractor, by the way.
I believe the New Mexico Bowl is tomorrow.
Correct.
It features San Diego State and Central Michigan, and San Diego State is a 3.5-point favorite. I've got to pick this one first. Central Michigan has a Ferentz on the coaching staff. It also has Jim McElwain as its head coach. I don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China, but I'll roll with the Chippewas here, who are, I believe, 9-4 against the spread this season.
Ooh.
The Chippewas were good against the spread, but then they let me down in that MAC championship game. I'm going to go ahead and say San Diego State's defense is too much for Central Michigan.
Dave.
San Diego State has a little bit of an advantage here with the game being played in Central New Mexico because of the altitude. And their defense is very good, allowing only 12.8 points per game. I'll take San Diego State to win and cover.
All right. I am down on the Chips ever since I'm with Alex since they blew it in the MAC championship game. So I'm going to take the Aztecs.
Rocky Long's team.
Rocky Long. Still there.
In relation to Chuck.
No relation to Chuck.
Okay.
But he's done
they
a
like
great
coaches
job there.
Named Long.
Yes, they do.
I like coaches named McElwain. I'll go with Utah, Central Michigan.
Eric is going to go with San Diego State.
Game three is the Cure Bowl. I have no idea what we're curing, but I hope for the best. Georgia Southern and Liberty. Alex, Georgia Southern opened as a 5-point favorite.
Is Hugh Freeze going to be coaching this game from this hospital bed? No, he's not. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say Georgia Southern.
Dave.
Only three schools in the country throw the ball less than Georgia Southern. Air Force, Navy, and Army. Liberty gives up more than 5 yards a carry defensively. And they're going to be facing a triple option here. I look for Georgia Southern to rush for 400 yards.
Dave, great job. If you see triple option this bowl season, take the triple option. There's an Air Force and Washington State game coming up later in bowl season. I'm not telling you which way to pick, but I'm telling you Washington State will not stop Air Force once.
But he's telling you what to pick there. I'm with Dave. I'm going to ditto that. Georgia Southern. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, Georgia Southern almost beat Minnesota earlier this year, gave somebody else a heck of a game. And you guys hit it on the head, triple option, Georgia Southern.
Didn't they beat App State?
Beat App State.
Eric's going Georgia Southern as well. Todd, you may get a clean sweep.
Clean sweep across the board, even though the line has moved in Liberty's favor.
Rollover Liberty.
So we'll see whether or not Vegas knows more than we do. The Boca Bowl. Southern Methodist and Florida Atlantic. SMU, a field goal favorite, Dave.
Well, Lane Kiffin left FAU, but an important factor here is that the players support their new interim coach, Spencer, and this game's being played at FAU's home field. Weather could be a factor. I like FAU and the points.
Do you get a, you know, a picture of the Seinfelds and the Costanzas if you win this thing? Didn't they stay in Boca? Anyway, there you go.
I believe that was Del Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista. All right. Yeah, you give me a team playing on their home turf, 3 points, and they're a little motivated. I'm going to take Florida Atlantic.
It's a fine campus. I've seen it. It's not suited to football. SMU's coach just got an extension, right?
He did.
Give me SMU.
Eric likes SMU.
Did the late, great John Hayden Fry ever coach at Florida Atlantic?
No.
Nope. Hell no. Give me SMU. Go Mustangs.
This one is a mind twister because, like you said, Lane Kiffin's gone, but they're playing at home. I don't know which way to go. The weather is interesting because if SMU can't throw the ball, they're in trouble. But I like Shane Buechele and the Ponies right now, the way that they've played all season long offensively. Take the over in this game.
Yes, it could be 60-58.
That is interesting because that opened at 72 and it is now at 68.5.
Really?
Because of the weather, maybe.
The weather.
People have been hitting the under there. Game number 4, the Camellia Bowl. Your guess is as good as mine. Florida International against Arkansas State. And we'll pick this one with the Red Wolves as a 2.5-point favorite.
I'm Scott. Up. Isn't this the bowl that Toledo's usually in? Ooh, too soon, wasn't it? I'm sorry. I'm going to go with Arkansas State.
I'm going to go FIU for no apparent reason.
Who are two teams that have never been in my kitchen? All right. Eric is going to go with FIU.
I'm going to follow the line movement on this one. It opened with Arkansas State as a 3-point favorite, and now Arkansas State only a 1.5-point favorite in real time. So, Florida International.
Yeah, I like the way FIU is playing. They come off that big victory a couple of weeks ago against Miami. I don't know how much that says at this point about FIU with the way Manny Diaz's team played, but give me FIU.
Dave.
Sagrin has Arkansas State 92. FIU 118. That's a reason enough for me. Arkansas State.
We'll wrap up with the Vegas Bowl. Two teams people have actually heard of, Boise State and Washington. The Huskies, a 3-point favorite, with a 3.5-point favorite here, and our tiebreaker this week. The total points scored tomorrow at the United Center between Iowa and Cincinnati, Mark Dukes.
I like Washington a lot in this spot, and give me a gross on the final score, total score. 144 for you.
I had it. I had it. Very good. Eric's going to go with Boise State, and he's going to go with 146.
I can't pick Washington here because they did a number on Hayden's teams in the Rose Bowl back in the day. So give me Boise State, and I'm going to go with 150.
50.
I'm getting flashbacks a couple years ago when Boise State played Oregon in Mario Cristobal's first game and just beat the doors off of Oregon. There's a chance that Washington rallies behind Chris Peterson in his final game against his former team, but I like Brian Harsin and the Broncos.
How about your Iowa, ooh, Cincinnati?
Okay, what has already been picked?
144, 146, and 150.
I'll say 162.
162.
Dave.
I think Chris Peterson's last game against his former team, I can't go against Wash here. and 157.
I learned one thing over the years. Never, ever, 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 never go against Boise State in a bowl game. I will take Boise State, and I will take one.
It's a strategic play.
It's an homage.
I like it. It may be one of the better Vegas bowls ever, if that winds up being. No, that's right. It's the Iowa-Cincy basketball score. 319-366-1600. Six callers, six panelists, and somebody's going to take home a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. You can use it as a stocking stuffer if you want.
There you go. There you go. Great stocking. So you got all the gift cards available at Emil's, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, stop on by. Bring the family, what have you. 319-366-1600. Alex is going to take your phone calls. Keep on calling, and maybe you'll get hitched to one of the prognosticators. We wish you the best of luck. You got 22 seconds. Let us know what's coming up on the show, Todd.
Jaleel Johnson, Rob Howe, Jan Jensen, and more Friday Night Football talk that's not related to Black Friday.
There you go. All right.
I left you a couple seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds right there. We'll talk to
Happy
you tonight.
Happy holidays.
Over at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, it'll be the Warriors and the Cougars coming your way. Doubleheader action tonight. Have a great weekend, everybody. This has been the Gym Class, KGYM.
Okay, you know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home edition? Now imagine an edition on that edition. Whoa. That's the feeling with Capital One. We're a new